Our sermon today is based on Mark chapter 1, verse 9 to 15, the baptism and temptation of Jesus. As we meditate on God's word, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open my lips to speak your words and that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts as your people to hear and understand and to know of the great love that you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, here we go, Beth, you get a gig. I told Beth, my daughter, that if she came to worship today, I would mention her in the sermon, which probably means that I need to pay her a fine or something like that every time that I do this. If there is only one thing that you take from today's sermon, I'm putting it right up front. If you can remember that you are God's dearly loved child and that you bring the Father great joy, that's all you take away? Fantastic. I'm really happy. And we're going to get to that and how that happens and what that means for us. So Beth and I have recently been doing a bit of a daddy and daughter thing, which has been really nice. And we've been watching a show called Castle. And Castle, Richard Castle, the guy on my right there, is a writer of mystery stories and of crime. And somehow he manages to get into a New York Police Department detective work and to be a partner with the detective in her work. Anyway, this is Richard Castle and his daughter Alexis. And they have one of the best father-daughter relationships that I've ever seen on TV. They clearly adore each other. They love each other. They banter backwards and forwards. They kind of poke the bear. They kind of challenge each other. But you can see that they just love each other a whole heap, which is just a beautiful thing, actually, to see on TV, a lovely father-daughter relationship. And as we were watching Castle the other day, Beth made me very happy, brought a tear to my eye, and said, "Dad, I think our relationship is a bit like Castle and Alexis." And I went, "Yes, that's great. I feel so good about that. That's so nice." A dad's affirmation is an important thing, a really important thing, not only to affirm our children as fathers, but also that we are affirmed in our parenting and in our fatherhood. And when I was growing up, I longed for my dad's affirmation of me. I longed for my dad to say to me, "Nathan, you did a really good job." It's not that he never did it, but it was fairly rare when I was young. And my dad loved me without question, but sometimes it's just really nice to hear, "Hey, well done, I'm really proud of you, that is so good." A dad's affirmation is an important thing. In fact, two of my most important documents ever happen to be cards from my dad that say words along the lines of, "Well done, you did this thing well." And I've kept them. I've filed them away. I've kept them in my personal files, and they're very precious to me. I think that in each of us, there is a deep longing for that kind of relationship and that kind of affirmation. In fact, I think that we're actually designed to long for affirmation. Now, I know that for some of us, our dads were probably not the best dads. In fact, in this broken world, that's probably true for all of us. You know, sometimes dads are distant or they're harsh or they're abusive, and that's not great. And that leaves us with that deep longing for to be told that we're okay and that we are loved, I think. In fact, I believe that God created us with this longing for a father's affirmation because he is the perfect father. He's the one who is never cruel or harsh. He's not distant. He's not abusive. He always has our best at heart. So there is a difficulty there with this deep longing for a father's affirmation. Sometimes we don't get it in our earthly fathers. But God has created us in order to receive that kind of affirmation. In Mark chapter 1, at the baptism of Jesus himself receives his dad's affirmation, his heavenly father's affirmation. It goes like this. One day, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens split apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son. You bring me great joy." Wow. Wow. How good is that for Jesus as human and God to hear his father's voice saying, "You are my dearly loved son. You bring me great joy." Now notice that this is before Jesus does anything in his ministry. He hasn't started yet. He hasn't healed anybody. He hasn't gone out preaching. He hasn't proclaimed the kingdom of God. Before Jesus does anything, his father says, "You are my dearly loved son. You bring me great joy." You see, in baptism, in our baptism, what is true of Jesus becomes true of us. As we are baptized and brought into God's family, what's true of Jesus becomes true of us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 3 says this. 1 John 3, 1 to 3. "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure." So what God says to Jesus, in our baptism, God says to us, "You are my dearly loved child. You bring great joy to the Father." You are God's dearly loved child. You bring great joy to the Father. If that's the only thing you take away from this sermon, I'm really happy. But I'm going to explore it a little bit more. But what about when it doesn't feel like that? Anyone ever experienced that? I can see some nods here. It's like, come on, God, you say you love me, but I'm going through this right now. What is that all about? Yeah? I'm seeing quite a few nods, actually. That happens to me. I think it happens to all of it. All of us. It's hard to remember the truth that you are God's dearly loved child and you bring him great joy when your life is full of great difficulty. And actually, Jesus experiences this as well. What is this about? Mark chapter 1, straight after Jesus is baptized, straight after this great affirming voice from his heavenly Father, it says, "The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go out into the wilderness." It was the Holy Spirit that sent Jesus out into the wilderness to fast for 40 days, to encounter the power of evil in Satan, to be tested and tempted. What is that about, God? Surely after this great affirmation that comes from the Heavenly Father, Jesus would go out into his ministry in the power of the Spirit and go, "Yeah, it's all good, you know, I'm fired up on the Father's love and we're going to go and preach the kingdom of God." No, the Spirit sends Jesus out into the wilderness. And for all of us, we go through wilderness times where it feels like we are just under attack, that we are alone, that nothing good is happening. That's what the wilderness is like. Why on earth would God do that to us? Why on earth would God do that to Jesus? It's because in the wilderness, you can't do anything for God. You just have to be loved. You have to learn that dependence on the love of the Heavenly Father for you in the wilderness time. Even Jesus had to learn to depend on his Heavenly Father in the wilderness. I really like the NLT translation, but in some translations, it actually says, "A voice from heaven said to Jesus, 'You are my beloved son, with you I am well pleased.'" You are my beloved son. In the wilderness, you have to learn to be loved. You can't do anything good for God to earn his love. You can't overcome that trouble by yourself. You have to learn to depend only on God. In the wilderness, Jesus meets with Satan. I like this cartoon because it's not like the devil with pointy horns and a forked tail. It's almost a mirror image of Jesus himself going, you know what? If God loved you, he wouldn't have you in this situation right now. If you were the Son of God, he wouldn't want you starving to death out here in the desert. Just turn this stone into bread. You know you can do it. That's what Satan says to Jesus. And you know what? All of us as well undergo spiritual warfare and attack. And what does that look like? Mark is one of the Gospels where it doesn't say that Jesus was tempted by the devil. He uses a different word. It says that Jesus went into the wilderness to be tested by Satan. Now, Satan means the accuser. And the accuser gets to you by whispering to you often that maybe God doesn't love you that much after all. Or maybe the thing that you've done that you feel so ashamed about means that God might not forgive you this time. Or maybe if God really loved you, he wouldn't let you be going through this. Does anyone recognize that voice as well? Yep. The accuser will attack your identity, your relationship with God. If you were really a child of God, you wouldn't have gone and done that again, would you? If you were really a child of God, surely God would show his love for you in some more concrete way. If you were really a child of God, you would not be in this situation. And the accuser attacks your affirmation. That's the delight that God has in you. And it becomes kind of drudgery to pray or to read the Bible or to engage with God. The devil will say, you know what? God may love you, but he doesn't really like you. You know, he's not delighted with you. How could he be? You're kind of this little wormy thing crawling on the ground. You're not great. The delight of God, that's what Satan attacks. The identity and the affirmation. Here's the thing, though. You are my dearly loved child. Life as the beloved is not always easy. It's hard to remember that we are beloved. It's hard to just be loved by God. We think that we have to do something to kind of earn it or whatever. But no matter what situation you are in, no matter what wilderness place you are walking through, no matter how difficult your life, this remains true, just as it remained true of Jesus. You see, you are God's dearly loved child, and you bring the Father great joy, no matter what. No matter whether you've just fallen into that habitual sin again, no matter whether that life is really, really tough and it just doesn't look like there's any light on the horizon, this is always true. You bring the Father great joy. You are God's dearly loved child. All that time through the wilderness, as Jesus wrestled with Satan and was tested and tempted by him, God also had his angels watching over Jesus, taking care of him, making sure that he was safe, that no harm would come to him. And in our own life, we've experienced that kind of thing, where we've been through a really difficult time and we look back later and go, you know what? God's angels were still there. The presence of God was still there. Here's the thing, the one thing. Only remember this one thing. Through all the difficult times, through the dark times and the good times, you are God's dearly loved child. Because of Jesus and because of your baptism, you belong to the Father, and you bring the Father great joy. The Father delights in you. He loves to be with you. He enjoys affirming you and saying, no matter what, you're still my child, and I love you very much. And that is really good news for all of us. Amen.